As a child growing up in Kentucky, Abraham Lincoln witnessed slaves being herded along the high road like cattle, men, women and children shackled together. And in those formative years, it touched something very deep within him, and he formed a lifelong conviction that no person should ever be the property of another. And he resolved that whenever he had opportunity, whenever he had influence, whenever he had power, he would work for the freedom of those who were enslaved. And it was a long, hard, oftentimes unpopular road for him to travel. When he was finally elected president in 1861, he resolved to use the power that had been given to him to emancipate the slaves. It was not a popular choice amongst many. The southern states saw the way the wind was blowing and started to secede from the Union. But despite opposition, despite encouragement to compromise in many, many ways, Lincoln never wavered in his resolve that no one should ever be the property of another person. His resolve led to civil war, led to countless men and women losing their lives in the pursuit of freedom. But undaunted, Lincoln ploughed on. And finally, despite the pressure, on the 1st of January 1863, he signed the Emancipation Proclamation that declared that all those who were enslaved would be set free. It was at a time when the Civil War was not going well for the Union, and it continued not to go well for the Union. The pressure to compromise was immense. The following year, when Lincoln re-stood for election for a second term as president, the pressure to compromise was enormous. It looked unlikely that he could win a second term. And yet he did. He won. The war was won. And the slaves were freed. And on the 14th of April, 1865, following his second inauguration, Abraham Lincoln went to Ford's Theatre with his wife and other friends. And partway through the performance, John Wilkes Booth walked into the box where Lincoln was sitting and shot him in the head. Lincoln's fight for freedom was very costly. And in the end, it cost him his life. And by coincidence, or perhaps not, the 14th of April 1865 happened to be Good Friday. It was the day on which we remember, the world remembered another sacrifice, another man, Jesus, laying down his life in the pursuit of freedom for others, making the ultimate sacrifice of his own so that others might be free. Jesus had told his disciples, to all who would listen, that whoever sins is a slave. Whoever sins is a slave to sin. And the Bible tells us that one of the hymns that we've already sung reminds us of that truth, that our natural state, we are enslaved. The Apostle Paul elaborated on that, and in his letter to the Romans spelt out the fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All are enslaved, to use Jesus' words. And Paul elaborates further by saying, not only have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the wages of sin is death. Our natural state as human beings is one of enslavement. But God, in his love, fought and won our freedom. Jesus himself says in Mark's Gospel, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There was something of divine origin about Lincoln's desire that the enslaved should be set free. His unwillingness to compromise was rooted in something profoundly godly about the fact that no one should be the property of another. And God, seeing that we were the spiritual property of another, fought and won our freedom. And in a few moments, we will be reminded of the names of those who fought for our freedom and paid the ultimate price, who paid the cost so that we might be free, those of this village who laid down their lives in the cause of freedom, because no person should be the slave of another, no person should be the property of another. And that fight for freedom will continue until Jesus returns, because there will always be those who wish to enslave others. But they laid down their lives so that we might have the freedoms that we enjoy today, and it is always right that we gather together to remember and to give thanks for those who won our physical freedom, that we are free this morning to gather in this church and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ without let or hindrance. These freedoms, we take them for granted, don't we? But they were bought at great cost. And as we remember those who gave up their lives so that we might live this life in freedom, so it's appropriate that we remember the one who inspired them, the Lord Jesus, who laid down his life for me, for you, so that we might be freed from slavery to sin and might look forward to eternity. And that's where it becomes, you know, very personal. The names that we will remember in a few moments, they're names of people that we probably never met. They certainly never met us, but they gave their lives so that we might live in freedom. Jesus gave his life that you might live in freedom, that I might live in freedom. Our gospel reading this morning began with the first words of Jesus recorded in Mark's gospel, of the declaration that the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. When the kingdom of God comes in all of its fullness, there will be no more fighting, there will be no more conflict, there will be no more tears or mourning or dying, for the old order of things will have passed away, John reminds us in Revelation. But in this life, as we continue to live with conflict, may we be mindful of the one who came to set us free, and may we choose that freedom. Let me close with the words of the last verse of our first hymn, which sums up all that we're thinking about today. And the God of love who lies at the heart of all the sacrifices that we remember. God is love, and though with blindness sin afflicts the human soul, God's eternal loving kindness guides and heals and makes us whole. Sin and death and hell shall never o'er us final triumph gain. God is love, so love forever the universe must reign. Amen.